if not for the redemption through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be able to really come in this manner and gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. As we continue our series on Jordan Crossing, we thank the Lord for enabling us thus far to go through various sermons in this Jordan Crossing. Interestingly, we had already gone through 11 of them, and today is the 12th one. When I started looking at it, I thought, wow, these many things that we have meditated just on one topic called Jordan Crossing. We always think of one story when we think about Jordan Crossing, but there are many, many incidents that have happened in the scriptures that relate to people crossing the Jordan, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament. The entire biblical stories are circled around the Jordan River. Entire, whether it is Old Testament or the New Testament. Today we are going to look at one more aspect of it. Last week we meditated on Jesus, how he crossed the Jordan and was baptized by John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist prepared the people for the Lord and prepared the way of the Lord as well. Today's portion is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Shall we all read this together, please? And then we can note down in our sermon note. Shall we all read this as it is projected? John, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion. Gracious Father, loving God, we ask you that you may speak to us through your living word. Not my words, Lord, but let your words come through me. Whatever you have taught me, Lord, you may enable me, Lord, to let it come with the liberty in the spirit, with power and authority that is given through the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, that you may help us to have an undivided attention to the listening of your word. There are many things that may be happening right now in the back of our minds, but right now, for the next few minutes, help us, Father, to focus our attention on your word. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. There was a family that had multiple dogs. I don't know how many of us do own. And one of the dogs' name was Brownie. I think that's a very popular name for a dog, Brownie. I don't know why they call. Maybe it's the color of the skin. I don't know what. But they named that dog as Brownie, and they were enjoying their dogs at home. And one day, this Brownie happened to get out of the house without any, without the owner of the house, and went and tried to cross the road and was hit by a car and died. And the family grieved. They buried the little little Brownie in the backyard of the house. And then on Sunday, the family went to the church, and they were returning, and they were concerned that the other dog must be really feeling alone. So they went and got another dog into the house. And this dog that has been all alone in the house was Brownie's mother. Mother and child were there, and the child died. So this mother dog could not accept this new dog that has come. So she ran back to the backyard, and she said, I cannot accept this. And she started digging the place where Brownie was buried. And the mother dug that so much so that family was watching, and suddenly they were able to get that Brownie out, and they saw that the heart was still beating. So they immediately took the dog to the veterinarian, and they tested the dog and finally gave some medications, etc. And the Brownie came back to life, interestingly. And this family renamed Brownie to Lazarus. Because the family knew what it means to name that dog as Lazarus. Today we are going to meditate on the story of Lazarus. And I thought I'll just share with you the story, because some people tend to really apply the name Lazarus in their own families, even their dogs as well. So I just wanted to enable us to understand some of the words that require some meanings to know. And for that, I'll just let you write down. I hope you have written down beyond the Jordan, and many believed in him there. Okay, those are the three words. Beyond the Jordan, and many believed in him there. Today's sermon is titled Believe. It's titled Believe. There are three words for us to understand and see what they mean. Pistio, pistio means, you can note down, believe or commit to one's trust. Please note it down. Certain times when we write down, it's, I think with all the smartphones and computers that we have, we lost the art of writing. So maybe we should write down sometimes. So note it down. Pistio, it's actually the original word is pistis. Pistis means believe. This is a verb, pistio. Believe, commit to one's trust. Completely trust the other person. Commit. Committing so much so that I don't want to even have any doubt. Commit to one's trust. That is what believe is. Periya. Periya. This word periya, you won't see it in the Bible. But instead you will see beyond the Jordan. The place which is beyond the Jordan or east of Jordan. Or you can note down periya means the country beyond. A historian by name Josephus, he coined this term called periya. I'll show you the map a little later as to where that Perea is. It's a country beyond, was a portion of the kingdom of Herod the king, Herod the Great, occupying the eastern side of the Jordan River Valley. Okay, Lazarus means, it actually has come from Eleazar. It's a Hebrew word, Old Testament word. Probably you know this name, Eleazar. There are two different spellings of it. Eleazar, E-L-I-E-Z-E-R. And E-L-E-A-Z-E-R. Both mean God helps. Or God is my help. Whom God has helped. El-Azar or Azar means help. Eleazar means God has helped. And the variant, Greek variant of Eleazar is, they remote the E. And they call it Lazar. Lazar, Lazarus. That's how the name came, okay? So sometimes it's good to know how the root words and their meanings as well as to why this person was named Lazarus. Is Lazar means God has helped. God is my helper. God is my helper. Remember one thing. God, the Bible says that he is our help in the time of trouble. God is our help. I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. So God is my helper. So whenever you think of this name Lazarus or Eleazar, it means God has helped. I hope now you'll be able to remember these. Interestingly, the sons of Moses and Aaron in the Old Testament, Moses' son was Eleazar, E-L-I-E-Z-E-R, Eleazar, and son of Aaron was E-L-E-A-Z-E-R. Eleazar. Both are Eleazars. I wonder how it would have been. Both the families meeting and they call Eleazar and both of them show up. I don't know how it would have been. But Moses and Aaron, their sons' names are both Eleazar with different spellings. Let's look at the map now. This is the land of Israel and the surrounding places during the time of Jesus. This has been, you know, in the Old Testament, I've shown some pictures in the past weeks also. But today, we're just going to look at this particular map. And this is the Sea of Galilee on the top, the Dead Sea on the bottom. And there's a river that connects the Sea of Galilee with the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. Never ever forget, because all the stories are circled around this particular area. Judea, where Jerusalem, Bethany, and other places are, Jericho, that's area, that province or the country is called Judea. Samaria is in between, and Galilee is on the top. Jesus was born in Judea, Bethlehem, but he grew up and most of his ministry happened in Galilee. To the east of the Jordan River, beyond the Jordan, it is called Perea. Perea, remember we noted down the meaning of it, Perea. Perea is the area, though you might, if you search in the Bible, you won't find the word Perea. It says beyond the Jordan. That's what it says, beyond the Jordan. Rather than keeping it, calling it beyond the Jordan, somebody coined the word as Perea. Okay, so remember that. And there is another area called Decapolis, which is 10 cities. And here, Bethany east of Jordan, there is a Bethany in Judea, there is a Bethany beyond the Jordan Peria as well. John the Baptist baptized primarily here in Bethany east of Jordan. Later, he goes to Salem at Aon because there's more water there, he goes and baptizes there. But first, he baptized in this area called Bethany. There's another Bethany on the bottom, on the left side in Judea. Don't get confused between both the Bethanies. This Bethany is also sometimes called Bethabara. Okay, and here in this particular context, we notice that Jesus travels from Jerusalem to beyond the Jordan to Perea, where John baptized first, and then later to go and visit Lazarus who was dead. He goes from that area to Bethany. So he crosses the Jordan River. Jesus crossed the Jordan River. Jordan crossing. Very important for us to learn some stories that circle around the Jordan crossing. And just to give a context of why Jesus went from Jerusalem to Perea or beyond the Jordan, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10. We are going to primarily look at John chapter 10, verse 40 onwards, and then the John chapter 11. John chapter 10 and verse... But before that, I just want to give you a quick context as to why Jesus went from Jerusalem to beyond the Jordan. Chapter 10 and verse 22. Listen to this carefully. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. The feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. What is this feast of dedication? If you read the Old Testament, you won't find the feast of dedication anywhere. The feast of dedication was coined or was introduced during the intertestamental period, Old Testament and New Testament. In between, there are around 400 years. This was also called the Feast of the Maccabees, Feast of the Dedication. What happened? During those 400 years, there were some enemy forces who came and tried to attack Judea. And under the leadership of Maccabee and other people, they go and fight against the people so that the temple of Jerusalem was not defiled, because they wanted to defile the temple of at Jerusalem. And what happened was, during that time, that there was a lamp that had very little oil. And they were wondering that how can this oil be glowing all the while. But interestingly, they were able to see the wondrous work of God, that that lamp kept burning for 8 days. The light was burning for 8 days. So this, and they rededicated themselves and they rededicated the temple of the Lord. This happened in between the Old Testament and New Testament, before the coming of Christ though. And that feast of dedication of the temple is also called the Feast of Lights. And they used to put the lights, and it happened in winter, it says in chapter 10 and verse 22. The Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, which happened somewhere at the end of November and the beginning of December. The Feast of Lights. The Jews still celebrate it today. They call it Hanukkah. Hanukkah means the festival or the Feast of Lights or Feast of Dedication. This was a festival that the Jews were following. The feast, this feast was not instituted during the time of Moses, but it happened in the intertestamental period. I just wanted to give you a history. Sometimes we don't understand what is this here, Feast of Dedication, etc. But that is what that festival was, the Feast of Dedication. And every year they used to celebrate it, apart from the Passover and Feast of the Tabernacles and many other feasts that had. Jesus was there for the Feast of the Dedication that took place at Jerusalem. And people gathered there. Jesus spoke wonderful ways. You know, he was trying to tell about him, his deity, and his father, etc. But people did not like it. In verse 31, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And then, verse 39, therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. Verse 40, he went away from them because they were trying to kill him. And in verse 40, he went away again beyond the Jordan. He went to Perea. It's always good to have a visualization as to what was going on. What is the context? That Jesus was there at Jerusalem. He was preaching the word of God. He was telling who he was, but people did not like. The Jews did not like. And so he went away from Jerusalem to the place beyond the Jordan. In verse 40, he again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing. Later, John was baptizing up there in Salem and Aenon, but He was first baptizing at Bethany beyond the Jordan, as it says in John chapter 1 and verse 28. So now he was staying there, it says in verse 40. And while Jesus was staying there in John chapter 10 and verse 40, verse 41, listen to this carefully. Many came to him. Whenever Jesus was there, many were getting attracted to Jesus Christ. Many came to him and were saying, while John the Baptist performed no sign, John the Baptist did not perform any miracles. A lot of times people think that, people should be involved in miracle making, etc. But John the Baptist never performed any miracle, my dear. His job was to preach the word of God. His job was to be a forerunner to Jesus Christ. He was proclaiming the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. So here, while John performed no sign, people were noticing. People were noticing because many times when people perform signs, most of the time we tend to want to bring glory to God, but people tend to get the glory when they perform miracles. Though the purpose is to glorify God, to reveal who Jesus Christ is through miracles that happen. Even today also, there are a lot of wonders, signs and miracles that happen. But the point is, John the Baptist did not perform any sign. But the Bible says here in verse 41, while John performed no sign, yet everything, all things that John said about this man was true. They were able to remember what John the Baptist has told about Jesus Christ. The testimony he gave about Jesus Christ. Remember last week we have meditated upon how he testified that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the salvation of God. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Remember that? If not, you can go back and look at the sermon notes of last week or listen to the sermon online as well. He testified who Jesus was. Later in John chapter 3, when people came and said, lot of people are going to Jesus, people are also going to Jesus. You know what he said then? A man can receive nothing except when he receives from God. He must increase, I must decrease. That was a wonderful way he humbled himself. He told about who Jesus Christ was. That was all he did. He was not involved in doing any miraculous signs. But notice this very carefully. All the things, everything that John said about this man was true. They were able to see that in Jesus Christ. They were able to see that Jesus is the salvation of God. Jesus means he saves us from our sins. Jesus is the Son of God. It means God coming down in the form of a human being. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That means he came into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary for your sake and my sake, for redeeming us from our sinful nature. That is what the truth is. And they were able to recognize the truth. And then, once they know the truth, what did they do? Please read verse 42. All of us, let us read verse 42. Many believed in him there. Many believed in him there. So as part of this particular sermon, there are a lot of circles that you see on that. You may wonder, is it a flower or something? Let us try to fill in each of these circles. The first one is on the top. You can note it down. Truth was told. Truth was able to be seen in Jesus Christ. Everything that John said about this man was true. When it is true, when there is truth, that enabled verse 42, many believed in him there. The truth is, Jesus came into this world. The truth is, Jesus came into this world for your sake. He has come into this world to die for your sins. We are all sinners by birth. And he has come into this world to die for us. Do you believe the truth? I'm asking you. People at Perea believed. Many came to him. They could recognize whatever John the Baptist has told. A lot of preachers come and tell the word of God. You might be hearing a lot of sermons here and there. But do you believe the truth? Do you believe the truth? When you hear the truth that Jesus is God who came down as a human being to die for your sake and my sake, do you believe that? What does believe mean? Commit to one's trust. Totally, can you commit your life to him? Can you trust in him no matter what? That is what I'm asking you. Do you believe? Can you be like that Pereans? Perea. People from Perea, beyond the Jordan, they came to Jesus and they believed in him. And then Jesus spoke a lot. Luke chapter 13 to 17 talks about Jesus speaking. The whole chapters, we're not going to read that. Luke chapter 13 to 17 records all that Jesus spoke in Perea. Perean ministry, it's called. John did not record this, but Luke recorded it. And then let's pick up in John chapter 11, what happened. Jesus was still there in Perea. Now a certain man was sick. Lazarus was ill, it says in some translations. Lazarus of Bethany. Which Bethany are we talking about? The Bethany of Judea, which is on the west side of Jordan River. The village of Mary and her sister Martha. Wonderful family. We don't know about the parents. We don't know anything details about them. But all we know is in the city called Bethany or village called Bethany, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were there. I know a family who typically some people put names to their houses. And they named their home as Bethany because they had two daughters and one son. And they said, this is the best day. Let's name this house as Bethany. The house of Bethany, two daughters and one son, like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So wonderful family. And if you read the book of Luke, it talks about how Jesus visits them. And Martha was serving. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. We don't know where Lazarus was. Nothing is talked about him. Some people say maybe he was absconding, running away when Jesus has come. But he was a good friend of Jesus. That's one thing we know. Jesus was concerned about him and this family as such. Verse 2, it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him. So there was no text messaging or phone calls or anything. They had to send some people to go and tell Jesus. And going from Bethany all the way to beyond the Jordan and all, they took time. So they sent someone to tell Jesus in verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Simple. It's like a telegram. Few words. Not to the extent of telling us, how are you? All this. What happened? Why did you send me this letter? People say, they call. Some people call and say, how are you? How is it going? And the other receiver says, why did you call? Okay, come on, tell me. Tell me, what did you want? Some people don't directly get into what they want to tell. They keep going. But here, short messages. Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. It is not about we loving God. It is about he loving us. The one whom you love is sick. During VBS, I was listening to the classes, and one of the classes was on Lazarus, both here and upstairs. I was walking by here and upstairs to hear the story that was told to the younger children and the older children upstairs in the Sunday school rooms as well. So it is fresh in my mind as well. And this story is a very well-known story for many of us. Lord, he whom you love is sick. They didn't give a prescription to Jesus. You come. Last time you did like that, no? You tell a word or you do like this, Jesus, and then he'll be fine. No prescription, no telling how. It's only what. In projects that we work on, there are different kinds of phases. There are requirements phase, and then the design phase and development phase. Some people, they tend to give requirements as to how to do it also. So we keep telling back to them, please don't tell us how to do it. Just tell us what you want. We are there to design it for you. You give us what you want. Just tell what you want. Or tell the situation, or tell the problem. Problem statement, and we will provide the solution to you. A lot of people, they say, oh, I want to be able to do this. You shall do this. This should come from here. No, that is not a requirement. You are trying to provide a design. So many times in our prayers also, we tend to tell God how he should do also. Something to learn. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Simple. Lord, this is a problem. He knows the solution. He knows how to be able to resolve the issue. Lord, so many times we tend to go into the next step. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we need to come with a clean slate. Many times what we do is we plan it up, do all of it, and then take it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my plan. Won't you implement it? Put your stamp on it. No, that's not how God does. Just come with an empty heart. Lord, empty page, and say, you tell me what to do. Now, verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. There are reasons why things are happening in people's lives. Remember that. There are reasons. Jesus was telling this sickness, not every sickness, by the way. This sickness is not to end in death. But for the glory of God, Jesus knows what is what in terms of knowing the reason and how he needs to tackle that reason. Even in other incidents also, there was a little girl who died immediately. And then the father says, that's okay, you don't need to come. But he goes and then he raises that girl. And there was another widow's son who died and the funeral was going on. They're carrying the body. And suddenly Jesus raises that person. So these people could have said, you did that like that. Nah. No, God knows. Jesus knows what to do, when to do, how to do. Remember that. But for the glory of God, this is for the glory of God. When things happen in our lives, remember one thing, that in this particular case, the sickness was not to end in death, but for the glory of God. Anything that happens in our lives, our desire and prayer is that it may bring glory to God. When it brings glory to God, the Son of God may be glorified by it as well. God the Father, God the Son to be glorified. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We have a God who loves us. When God loves us so much, why this sickness? Why this problem? Why this situation? Many times we wonder. Oh, they are so good friends of Jesus. Still, why did they have to go through that issue? God allows situations in our lives for his glory. Verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he had stayed there 2 days longer in the place where he was in Perea. He stayed 2 days longer. When he heard he was sick, what do we do? When somebody is sick, the emotions raise for us. Oh, what happened? Oh, what happened to this person? We tend to get emotional. Jesus also could have become emotional. He's a close friend, the one whom you love. But Jesus was very, very obedient to the timing. We are going to meditate on it next week also on this. But what we can see here is that Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now you see the map. Now let us go to Judea again. How do they have to go? Cross the Jordan and go into Judea. That is how they travel. Let us go into Judea again. Jesus knows when to do the Jordan crossing. When to cross the Jordan, Jesus knew. He stayed 2 days longer, and then disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Why? And then Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in a day? Anyone who walks in the day, he does not stumble. He is talking about his ministry. And then he was also saying that if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. He was talking about Jesus Christ himself to be the light, and also his purpose, the time. The time is coming. This was his third year of his ministry, the last year of his ministry as well. The December before Jesus was crucified as well. So now in verse 11, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Jesus knew what happened to Lazarus. The disciples then said in verse 12, Lord, if he had fallen asleep, he will recover. He's fallen asleep, now he will recover. Then Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead and I am glad. I stopped there. I should have fully read it, but some people tend to stop there. Lazarus is dead and I am glad. Who will like that statement? Nobody likes that statement. Lazarus is dead. The first thing that comes is, a lot of sorrow, grief and all. Here in verse 14, he says, Jesus then said to them plainly he said, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Lazarus is dead. Jesus knows the entire plan. Small module developers, they don't know the entire project. They know what to do a little bit. But the project manager, the program manager has a full view of it. You do like this, you do like this. After when you do this, we combine that, we integrate it, and then that's how it happens. The person has a full picture. We have a God who is our program manager and a project manager who knows how to get things done. Most of the time we tend to be within ourselves, not knowing why is this happening like this, why is it now, why should I do like that? No. Jesus knew what was going to happen in Bethany. Jesus knew what was going to happen in Perea. He knew how to bring things together. And here he says, Lazarus is dead, but I'm glad. I'm glad for your sake. For your sake, so that you may believe, but let us go to them. Let us fill in the next one. Not there to believe. First, truth to believe. The second one is not there to believe. What does not there to believe means? Jesus deliberately, he was not there when Lazarus died. For whose sake? So that his disciples who are with him may believe. For your sake. Many times we think, oh, they have a problem there. He knows how to know, how to take care of the people who are with him and also the people who are out there on the other side of the Jordan River. My dear, Jesus does things in our lives for us, for our sake to believe. Lazarus is dead. From a worldly perspective, it is a horrible thing that has happened, in other words. Lazarus is dead. People may be complaining, how come Jesus did not come and all that? But his intention, his purposes of allowing Lazarus' death and Jesus not being there is for the disciples to believe. What a plan of God this is. What a sovereignty of God we see here. Not there so that you may believe. Then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go so that we may die with him. They were not able to believe. They were not able to really believe or trust God. They were traveling with Jesus for 3.5 years. Already here it was almost 3 years now. But their belief had to be to the extent of committing to the Lord's trust. That was what Jesus was waiting for. Then in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And we know the story after that. Verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem. We are talking about the east of Jordan River in Judea, which was about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That is straightforward statements. Maybe this is the nth time you're listening to this story. Maybe this is the, you know, in your Sunday schools, various sermons, in your family prayers, personal readings, you must have read this. But may the Lord speak to us afresh as we keep meditating on this story. Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. How many times we complain to God like that? Lord, if you have answered my prayer, I wouldn't have gone through this problem in my life. If you had immediately taken care of this issue in my life, in my family issue, my job issue, my sickness and many things, it wouldn't have happened. Your name would have been glorified. If you had answered my prayer, your name would have been glorified then. Nah? You did not answer a prayer. See what is happening. Everyone is coming and consoling us. This Lazarus is dead. Many times we complain. Even if we may not complain outwardly, Martha is a well outspoken person. She always lets it out. We may not be like that, but we may be having in our heart of hearts against God. Why is God doing like that? Why is he not answering my prayer? If he had answered, no, I would have had a Thanksgiving meeting today. And many kinds of things, a lot of things may be bothering in us in our lives as such. Lord, if you had been like that, if you have done like that, all that. But Jesus had to speak to her, saying, your brother will rise again. Then she says, I know in the last day he will rise. Notice this carefully, my dear, verse 25. We are going to the next point. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one who gives life. I am the one who gives life again. I am the one. I have the power. I am the resurrection. Not that I give resurrection. I enable you to have resurrection. I have the power of resurrection. No, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Important statement. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Note it down, the third point. Believe to live. He who believes in me will live. Believe to live. Believe. In other words, believe. Believe to live. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the resurrection and life, he is the one who gives us not only earthly life, but eternal life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. That is the greatest hope we have. Jesus gives me hope. That was a lesson as part of the story of VBS. Jesus gives me hope. The hope of new life. Hope of life itself. Eternal life. He who believes in me will live. Do you believe? Do you believe in the life that God gives to us? The life that is beyond the life on this earth. Even if he dies, he will live. Not only on this earth, but forever he will live for eternity. He who believes in me should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Eternal life. Believe to live. Then, verse 26, Jesus says, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. He who lives and believes. Live and believe. You believe to live. And while you are living, live and believe. That is, your belief is not one time, my dear. The disciples have been believing in Jesus Christ to the extent of the things that he was doing. But Jesus said, for you to believe, you have your faith should go more and more, should grow more and more. So you believe to live, and then while you live, you believe. Live and believe. That's what it says in verse 26. Everyone who lives and believes in me. It's very important, my dear, to remember this. And then Jesus doesn't stop there. He's giving some important statements about who he is. The deity of Christ can be seen here. That he is God himself. He is the giver of life. He is the one who brings back to life. He can make the dead bones alive as such. He can give eternal life. When he says all of that, he just doesn't keep quiet. You know what he said in verse 26? The next one. Do you believe? Do you believe? It's not just telling a statement. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Everyone who lives and believes will never die. He doesn't just make that statement. He wants each one of us to respond to what he says. Response is needed. Do you believe? He was asking Martha, and today this question can be applied to us as well. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? It's a question to each one of us. Do you believe? It's not about being able to say, oh, yeah, Jesus, he came into this world, he died. Do you believe? Do you believe the Jesus of the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus came into this world to save sinners? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. That is a calendar verse for this month of July. Do you believe that? That Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners like you and I? Do you believe that he is the one who is a giver of eternal life? Do you believe? What is your answer? What is your answer? If you are asked that question, if Jesus is asking you that question, do you believe? Can we be like Martha, who says in verse 27, note it down, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Many times we ask, after the end of the sermon, etc., do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? A lot of times people question about altar call, etc., but it's a question personally being asked by Jesus to Martha. Do you believe? And he's expecting an answer from you. He's expecting an answer from you. Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Messiah or the Christ, the Son of God who comes into the world. I believe. I believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. You know the Apostles' Creed. To be able to know that Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. to die for me. He came down into this world. I believe he is the anointed one who gave his life for me. Do you believe? And our answer God is expecting is, yes, Lord, I believe. And then we'll skip a few verses. We don't need to go through the entire part. Mary comes, and then everyone starts crying there in verse 33. He saw her crying, Jews also crying. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And they asked, where have you laid him? Which tomb was it? And Jesus wept. In English, the shortest verse is Jesus wept. In Greek, the shortest verse is rejoice evermore. Just to let you know, many times people say the shortest verse is Jesus wept. Rejoice evermore. The weeping will turn to joy. Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. Okay, Jesus wept. And then we notice Martha, when Jesus said, remove the stone, Martha said, oh, it's going to stink. Behold, it stinketh. In King James Version, it says in verse 39. But verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus was reminding a lot of things Jesus must have spoken to Martha. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Note it down. Believe to see. I don't know if you were here when we had the series on believe to see. Rather than see and believe and see. This was one of the sermons that we meditated at that time. Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see. First, believe. Believe, then you will see the glory of God. Do you believe that? And then Jesus, they removed the stone in verse 41. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, Jesus was praying. Public prayer of Jesus is very rare, but we could see that. The prayer taught by Jesus to his disciples is one thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But this particular prayer that Jesus prayed, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He was praying constantly because in public, now Lazarus is there. He knows that he has to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he continued to be having that communion with the Father. I know that you have, verse 42, I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. I said it aloud that you hear me. Father, my Father, I said it so that the people around may believe that you sent me. So note it down. Hear to believe. He said it aloud. Jesus spoke aloud for people to hear. I know people who have come to know Jesus Christ through prayer. Somebody was praying, and through that prayer, this person got convicted. Just prayer. Forget about sermon and altar call and all that. Just simple prayer. He was praying, and this person was listening. Is this how you pray to God? Is God so loving God? I tell you, our public prayers should have an impact on people's lives. When they hear you pray, when they hear you worship, they should believe in the God. Hear to believe. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the word of God. So we need to quote the verses more than our words, even when we pray. And then we notice they heard to believe. And finally they unbind him, bring him out. And verse 45, please read someone, verse 45. They saw what he had done, believed in him. So what? There are other set of people where we see they saw and believed. They saw the glory of God. They saw the wondrous thing that Jesus has done. This was one of the biggest miracles. I think almost the last public miracle that Jesus did. And later we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he puts back the ear of the Malchus. That is a different story, but it was only a few people. But this was among the large set of people. Many Jews who came to Mary and saw that what he has done believed in him. believe. Notice how many times it is repeatedly used in this particular story. One story. And then we notice that there's a story that happens here where the chief priests, verse 47, chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council. They started having meetings. Come on, let's talk what to do. And then they've convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? What's going on? For this man is performing many signs. And notice this verse 48 carefully. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. Verse 40, 45, many Jews believed in him. Chapter 10 and verse 42, many people believed in him. Many, many, many. We don't know how many. But here in what verse 48, they got scared to the core. They got so scared, they said, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They were very, very much looking at the things of this world, our place, our nation. Oh, what will happen? Romans will take over the nation. If we let him go on like this, they knew, notice the note on the last one, continue to believe. If Jesus continues to perform these kind of signs, if Jesus continues to be there amongst them, if he continues to be able to show forth his glory, all will believe. How much important it is for us to show forth the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives, to proclaim him, to project him. The more we project Christ, the more the people will hear, will see, and believe in him to the extent. This is what they said in verse 48. If we let him go on like this, everyone will come to know Christ. So they were scared. See, a lot of people tend to put blockers. And then after this story again, we see they tried to kill him. This is going on and on. We'll continue next week as to what has happened after this story. If you count how many these are, I don't know if you have counted them. 10. In this one particular story we see from John chapter 10 verse 40 to John chapter 11 verse 48. 10 times it talks about believe. How important it is to believe. To believe in such a manner, to commit one's trust completely in him. Totally. Totally trusting in him. Not doubting anything that happens in my life. Maybe there was something that happened in your life that you've been asking God over and over and over again. And now you said, I'm not going to ask him. It's dead for me. Maybe that specific thing that you considered dead in your life, that God has not answered your prayers, that you are trying to give up in your life, to say that it is done, gone away. Jesus wants to bring back that to life. Do you believe in him? That Lazarus situation in your life, where you have given up, but God doesn't want to give up in your life. He has a purpose of delaying in your life. Though there is a decay, though there is a delay, there is new life. Remember that. Never ever doubt the sovereignty of God. Believe in him, my dear. Believe in him. He is able to do it. Not that he did for everyone, but he can do something new in your lives. Something similar or much greater in your life than what you have seen. Don't just think about life, a person dying and coming back to life, but apply it into your daily life. The things that are bothering you, the things that are hurting you, the thing that you have been praying on and on and on and on, saying, God, this is the problem. Why is he not responding? Why is he not responding? I wonder, Martha and Mary, while they were crying, they were being, you know, why is Jesus didn't come? Why didn't he come? A lot of times we complain. Lot of times we give up our prayer. Lot of times we give up reading God's word. Who are we trying to be against? Lot of times we stop praying. Lot of times we stop worshiping him also. Who are we trying to fool? We are fooling ourselves. Oh my dear, maybe that portion in your life, that prayer life is dying or dead in your life. God wants to resurrect that aspect of your life. Maybe the worship which you have been worshiping, What's wrong? What's going on with it that you're not able to worship God in spirit and in truth? Maybe you are worshiping publicly. Maybe you are reading God's word publicly. Maybe you are so zealous in serving the Lord. What is causing you unable to have that zeal anymore? God wants to resurrect that part of your life. Maybe the family situation that is going on in your life that you are trying to give up, God wants to resurrect that in your life. Maybe that any other situation, job or financial matters or whatever is a problem, like what Martha and Mary were going through in their lives, Jesus can bring back to life. Do you believe? That's a question. Do you believe? Can we emphatically say, yes, Lord, I believe? Even before Lazarus came back to life, Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe before I see the results. That is what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Even without seeing, I believe. Do you believe that, my dear? The gift of eternal life he has promised, he has given us. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you believe that? What is causing us losing the zeal for the Lord? One day you were so active in the Lord. What happened to you now? God wants to resurrect that aspect of your life, which you have given up. He wants to bring back to life. You know what part of that life is in your life, in my life. Let us examine ourselves and see how we can be able to apply these important principles from this story that we have learned, how Jesus crossed the Jordan and made people believe on either side of Jordan, Perea and Judea, disciples, Martha, Jews, everyone believed. Isn't it wonderful, my dear? Just the study on belief made me wonder how wonderful God is, that he is ready to do a breakthrough in my life and your life as well. May the Lord bless this word.